Good morning. The January 20th, 2012 meeting of the Planning Commission is now called to order. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll? Present.
Here.
Day.
Present.
Norby.
Here.
Hallinger.
Here.
Reese.
Present.
Woods.
Thank you. During these proceedings, all cell phones, beepers, et cetera, must be turned off or set to vibrate. I appreciate your cooperation in that. Audio recordings of these proceedings or this hearing are now available online. For those of you who are not familiar with these proceedings, speaker slips are located in the corridor outside the hearing room. Fill out a green slip if you support the proposed project on today's agenda, or a pink slip if you support the project, a pink slip if you oppose the project. And there are white slips available if you neither oppose nor support the project. After you complete the slip, please turn it in to the secretary on my left. These hearings are recorded, so when your name is called, please come to the podium, identify yourself, and provide us with your address. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to speak, unless the chair states otherwise. And please try not to be repetitious. Commissioner Reese, would you please explain our timing system?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the left of the podium is a series of lights, red, green, and yellow. At the start of your presentation, normally it would be 3 minutes. Normally there would be a green light showing. When there's 1 minute remaining, there will be a yellow light showing. When your time has expired, the red lights will start. At that point in time, please finish up your presentation and step down.
Thank you, Commissioner Reese. If you have documents that you would like viewed during your presentation, please place them on the table to the right of the podium, and they would be we'll be able to view them on the screen when it's your turn to speak, of course. Information concerning how to appeal any decisions made on today's projects is found on the last page of your agenda. Are there any members of the public wishing to discuss a topic not listed on today's agenda? Okay. Documents to be considered as evidence should have been filed with the Secretary of the Planning Commission not later than 4 o'clock on Wednesday. The Planning Commission may, however, receive into evidence a good cause shown projects information that was not delivered in time. Pardon me, please. What we're saying is that we don't have time to go through information that's important to you if we just receive it today. So that's the reason we have the deadline. But I will permit you, however, to, when you come to the podium to speak, if you have late file documents, you can present it then. Staff, are there any handouts that I've seen a couple?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we received handouts for items 1, 6, and 7 that should have been distributed to your commission.
Are there any requests for continuance?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a request from a member of the public to continue item number 7.
I think what I'd like to do at this time is have that person come forward. Do you have a name? Or that person would know who it is, who they are.
Mr. Chairman, this individual is not able to attend the hearing and requested a continuance to a later date when they could attend.
Any reason or rationale for the?
That's why, because they couldn't be here.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, what's your feeling about this request on item number 7?
Have they submitted something?
Did they submit something in writing that you know of?
Is that this David Geffen law firm?
You speak.
No, it sounds like it's just somebody who couldn't make it today, and they want to continue the hearing until the time they could make it.
Excuse me. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, we believe that is the case.
So that's this letter dated January 19th, Fatama Ansari?
Correct.
All right. I think she probably, she certainly has a reason that she couldn't be here since she's unable to travel on short notice because of her disability. So, Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that this be continued for her benefit.
What's your pleasure, Commissioners?
Do we need a motion?
Yes, please.
I'll make a motion to continue item number 7 until what time, Mr. Director?
We have to give a date. What does the calendar hold?
Mr. Chairman, we could continue that item until February the 10th.
Okay. Second. Yes.
I'd like to speak to this continuance. There are also people...
That's in order.
There are also people...
Name and address, Jack.
Jack Phillips, Valadier Planning Group Chair. There are also people here that are ready to address this item, and it's closely related to item 6, and I do not believe this should be continued because it just means that people are going to have to come again, like myself. So I'm opposed to this continuance. Let's get items 6 and 7 decided today.
Madam Secretary, how many speaker slips do we have on 7?
Question 2.
Okay, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I have to clarify the reason for this person asking for a continuance. That person lives in Los Angeles and rents out their house in this area. The tenants did receive the notice, but only forwarded that notice at the last minute to the owner. We believe we properly noticed the project, and that's why we weren't in support of the continuance.
You support the continuance?
We do not support the continuance.
Oh, you do not support the continuance. Okay, let's start all over here. Commissioners, Commissioner Day?
Mr. Phillips, I haven't seen your testimony yet. Are you opposed to the application?
Yes.
Am I to take it that the lady requesting the continuance is opposed as well?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. Do you know if her tenants are here? Are they part of your group?
No.
Okay.
Oh, so your opposition to that request has nothing to do with whether she's on your side or the other side?
Right.
Okay.
It's strictly addressing the continuation and the validity of it.
I understand. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chairman, I made a motion, which I guess it stands on the floor, but I'd like to withdraw that motion.
I wouldn't have supported it, so I'm...
Okay, so I need a motion of support of the continuance or not.
I don't think we need a motion. We just need to proceed.
Clarification of County Council. That we need to make a decision. Should it be on a motion?
I think you do need to...
That's what I thought. A motion to do so.
Yeah.
Or not.
If there's no motion, it's on
the agenda. If there's no motion, we go on through with it and not continue. We need a motion to continue. To make it continue.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we do not accept the request for continuance and hear the item today.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and second that we continue the item today. Any question? Please vote.
We're not on.
She's energizing it.
Well,
now.
We can just
by a hand, vote, a hand show. All favor of the motion. Let the record reflect that all city commissioners supported the motion, with Commissioner Woods absent.
Going to be heard?
Please
okay.
Thank you. Let's see where we were. No. And that, and also, well, no, we didn't continue it, so we don't have to worry about it. Excuse me. Are there any requests from the audience for continuance? Okay. We began today's hearing with the formation of our consent calendar. Staff, are there any items that might be considered for possible consent?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Items number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8 are eligible for your consideration for the consent calendar.
Commissioners?
I thought we had a speaker slip or some opposition on number 2.
Do we have speaker slips on any of those, Madam Secretary, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8? No. None on any of those. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve items number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8 on consent.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and second that items 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8 be accepted on consent. Any question? Please vote. Show of hands again. Our system is not performing. All the seated commissioners voted in favor of the motion, with Commissioner Woods absent. Okay, staff, we'll begin with item number 1.
Good morning, Chairman Brooks and members of the Planning Commission. As you recall, this was heard on December 16th, and the item was continued in the middle of public testimony. It's a 28-lot subdivision in the Bonzo Community Plan, and staff is recommending approval of this project, and we feel like you could continue public testimony at this time.
Okay, and it was continued because we lost a quorum.
That's correct.
Okay, now, for public's understanding that we will not permit testimony that has already been presented to be restated. We're going to pick up where we left off. And so we have speaker slips.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do have some speaker slips.
How are we able to determine without the, do you have the list, Madam Secretary, of who spoke before? You do, David, Mr. Civic?
Certainly, Chairman Brooks. I believe at the time where the commission lost the quorum, a neighbor, Robert Drowns, was speaking. We've also received public testimony from 4 others that completed their public testimony. Those were a neighbor, John Gubler, his attorney, Anthony Taylor.
Pardon me, Mr. Civic. Would you go over the names again, who's already spoken?
Sure. Mr. John Gubler spoke. His attorney, Anthony Taylor, and Carl Meyer, and Marguerite Morgan spoke, and the testimony in favor of the project, the applicant, Wes Peltzer, the future ag manager, Jerome Staley, spoke, and several others on the applicant team just provided that they're available to speak if need be. So in total, there was the 3 opponents spoke December 16th, and Mr. Robert Drowns submitted a neutral slip, and he was the one that where the quorum ended, who was testifying.
You say ended, Please refresh my memory. Did he get to finish his presentation?
I don't believe so.
Politely stopped him. I hope it was politely. At any rate, I'm willing to have him come back if he's here. Is he? Did he present a slip?
Not to interrupt, Chair. I just had.
Well, you have to always come to the mic. Again, these proceedings are recorded. And state who you are.
Thank you, Chairman Brooks and members of the board. Anthony Taylor, counsel for John Gubler. My address is 18881 Von Karman Avenue, Suite 1700 in Irvine, California. I'm a partner at the law firm of Alshar and Winder. I just wanted to clarify, I think where we left off, Chairman Brooks, I did speak, John did speak, but we did not conclude what we were told at the end, and the reason why we came back today is that we would have an opportunity to respond.
A rebuttal?
Exactly. And I've limited my speaking to just a photograph and a map and rebuttal. I wouldn't expect to speak more than a minute or two. It was just purely in rebuttal, and John had some rebuttal as well. And you indicated at the last meeting that we would have the chance to do that.
Okay, I have to trust you on that. I don't remember that voice. Sure. But I do remember interrupting Mr. Brown. Bear with me. Is Mr. Brown here? Okay, so he didn't get a chance to finish his statement, and he had a white slip. Is that correct?
Yes, Chairman Brooks, he did have a white slip. And we know that the applicant engineer had met him on site in the last month to hopefully resolve his issue. And that engineer is here if you'd like to ask him questions on that meeting out in the field.
No, I don't think that's necessary. Thank you for that. But I suppose if he had concerns, he still would have shown. So we don't need to do that. And I would not allow this. I didn't remember the case being where I decided to give you a rebuttal. But if you say 1 minute is all you need?
It's very brief.
Okay, I'll allow that here.
And if I could have just access to the overhead,
please,
that would be helpful.
Mr. Chairman?
So
as I recall, the last meeting, the applicant, and I don't know if the applicant's here, didn't get a chance to present the rebuttal either.
And you're representing the applicant?
No, I'm representing Mr. Gould.
Oh, Mr. Gould. Okay, I understand.
Is the applicant in the audience?
Opposition.
Oh, there he is.
I'm here. I was hidden. You do want rebuttal time today, and you did agree to
play. I did. Boy, this is unusual. You guys are telling me a lot of things I agreed to that I don't. I know I'm 69, but dang. Anyway, present your case, and then I will allow for the rebuttal. Please, don't you guys tell me I said something else that I don't remember. Mike would certainly tell me that. Thank you, sir.
If I could just have access to the overhead, I don't think it's going
Madam
up
Secretary?
For some reason. There's a way to blow that up. There we go. That's getting there. The critical points I wanted to make, I've submitted my legal position in the letter that's in your packet from December 15th. What I wanted to do is clarify some things for the record. One of the positions the developer took in this matter was that there was a buffer between Mr. Gubler's property and the development that's proposed here. What I'm showing in this picture is a photograph taken by Mr. Gubler. His property is to the right of the fence line. It's the downhill property. And then to the left is the proposed development. What the developer has done is actually taken out the trees in that area, as you can see, and all there is a barbed wire fence along that area. There is, in fact, no buffer.
There was a colonnade of trees there?
There was, as I understand, and John can speak to that, there was trees along that area.
Okay, but there's no pictures that you have to show.
He actually has additional pictures to present that shows before and after of the whole area, as well as the runoff issues that we have as well. He has those photographs to respond to their arguments from the last hearing. So what I wanted to make clear to the commissioners was, I mean, we have the documents to show that what they're saying is terms of a buffer and protection of his property. He has no protection. There's no buffer there. The other point I wanted to make briefly, and I'm going to switch to something else on the overhead,
Can you, Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Can you orient us to your client's property again?
Thank you.
Certainly. It's a little tricky on this map.
There's a pointer.
Oh, there is.
Pointer.
Okay.
You need to speak on the mic.
Okay. Let's see if I can. There we go. It's right in this area in here on the map. The I think what's that's helpful in this this document here comes from the draft EIR. It shows in the blue lines that are slashed the agricultural preserved areas, and you see in the lower right-hand column the total. What I think is very important to see here is this is, and Commissioner Beck raised an excellent question at the last hearing, is where is this 22 acres and why isn't it all in one piece so it can actually be farmed productively? And what's happened is it's broken up into many small pieces, and they're so small in many of these areas that there's just no way they can be productive for farmland. And that's important because under the general plan that's in effect for this project, one of your requirements is that you preserve agricultural resources, and anything inconsistent with that would be unlawful and could be overturned by a court. And you can see here, even though the total may add up to 22.6, it's all broken up all over the place. And it's just, it's not effective in terms of preserving farmland the way it's been designed. With that, I promise to be brief, and I will be brief. Are there any questions that I can answer? I think I've mentioned my background is mostly in representing public agencies, also homeowners associations. I think this is going to be a really tough one here for an HOA to try to manage, and I don't think they'll be able to do it effectively. But if there's any questions for me, I'm glad to answer those.
Well, we don't have any right now, but we don't have any at this moment, but we reserve the right to call you if we have time.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank
you very much.
What I'd like to do before we bring the applicant's representative up is speak with staff about some of the buffers and some of those things that he asserted to.
Certainly. Thank you, Chairman Brooks and members of the Planning Commission.
Wait, pardon me. I just found out something. Boy, this is really disturbing today for me on my part. I'm going to allow Mr. Google to speak. You have the same amount of time, 1 minute. This is not a 3 minute testimony today. If you'll come forward, did you want to add something to what he stated? Mr. Taylor stated? Thank you. Come forward, please. Because for the public, because we continue this, we're kind of out of sorts right now, so please bear with us.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak again. My name is John Gubler. I have a farm, 47 acres, south.
Your address, please.
8020 Via Erna Way in Bonsall.
Now, Mr. Gubler, I'm allowing you to come back now because you have something in addition to say. We already understand what you did in the past there. So if you enlighten us to something.
Yes, sir. I was cut off last time when I was trying to explain that we have a big problem. My concern is the runoff water, the drainage which goes into our area. That is one concern. And also my right to farm, which I haven't brought up. I feel that it would severely hinder my operation as an organic farmer. I've done farming for over 20 years. CC&R on this homeowner organization proposal make it very clear that they cannot have bees, they cannot have various things, noise, dust, and so on. That's exactly when you farm, what really happens here. We do have bees. We need them for pollination from our over 1,000 lime trees. We are in good production here, and those are organic. It will hinder my operation. And of course, that is my future there. We have been farming, and I think you need our products. There is no question about it. Also, I'm very concerned that you actually destroy 92 acres of good farmland.
Okay, when Mr. Gould, can you summarize, please?
Yes, I'm opposed about this project, and if you need to see pictures I have from the runoff, which happens from our neighbor above us, I'll be very happy to show it to you.
Thank you, sir. And we've got pictures there that we're looking at now.
So. Yes, when we have severe rain, the water comes down, they cut the trees off, and it's flooding the whole thing. The house below, we have two houses below the area, and that is very severe. I mean, if you do have more asphalt and more cement and driveway.
Thank you, sir. We understand.
All right.
Thank you.
I thank you, too. Thank you.
Staff, Mr. Civic.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman Brooks. As you might recall, in our December 16th hearing, several late letters and handouts were received, I think five total, and the continuance did give staff an opportunity to review those. We also received several comments from the commissioners late, and we'd like to go over eight quick items for you prior to the applicant's rebuttal, if you don't mind. The first one is why DPLU didn't support a clustered design. Staff considered clustering, but the resource that we are trying to protect is the soil on this site, not the actual groves. The PEC soils are scattered across the property, just not on one edge, which would lend itself to clustering. You could tell by the orange spots is where the PEC soils are located. And as Marguerite stated at the last hearing, the Bonsall Community Plan, as well as the sponsor group, discourage clustering for lots that are less than 2 acres. In fact, the community plan that this project is under says it verbatim that it discourages lots less than 2 acres. Also, lots on less than 2 acres would be smaller and incompatible with the surrounding lots, which includes several small farms. The second question is that there is there an on-site statewide significant soil type? And yes, there is. There is 6 acres of what would be impacted statewide significant soils. Based on the county's guidelines, they must mitigate at a ratio of 1:1. This applicant chose to mitigate more. They are mitigating with 13.8 acres. The total agricultural open space will be 22.6 acres because this area also includes soil that is not significant to accommodate agricultural buffers, like the one in the bottom right-hand side next to Mr. Gubler's property. And other areas are also planned to remain in ag. So this applicant has far exceeded the county thresholds for mitigating significant soils. Thirdly, there was a question asked, is there a cumulative agricultural impact? There's 15 other projects studied in the area, which resulted in 9 acres of impact to prime ag land. So combined with this project, there's a total of 15 acres, which is a low number compared to the size of these projects. The cumulative impact is also less than significant because these projects were also designed with large enough lots to accommodate agriculture. So staff has found that there is no cumulative agricultural impact. The fourth question that was raised is who will maintain the stewardship of the land? Now, there's no requirement in the resolution to have an ag manager. The individual property owners or the HOA manager could be responsible for the maintenance. Although, as you heard at the last hearing, testimony from Jerome Staley, the plan is for him to manage it. Will the ongoing operation be commercial or private? Portions of the ag easement will be owned by the individual property owners. There is no requirement to maintain, by definition, a commercial operation. However, the easement terms, the configuration, the agricultural nature of the area encourage the continued commercial type of operation. And once again, that was reiterated by Jerome Staley's testimony at the last hearing. Number 6, will there be an endowment? Condition 4E states that prior to final map recording, the developer shall provide security for 10 years of maintenance operations to the county, such as maintaining wells, signs, fencings, leach fields, and the overall agricultural. So there is a requirement in the resolution to provide an endowment. Number 7, as the neighbor stated today and last time, or I don't know if he stated today, but he did last time, that these lots will have trouble passing percolation tests. The applicant submitted perk tests for all 28 lots. Typically, the environmental health only requires 40% of the lots to perk. In this case, 100% of these lots pass percolation tests. And the reason DEH required that is because there was some doubt of other projects in the area that didn't perk. So there is no concern from County DEH that these lots will have difficulty with their leach fields or that the leach fields will fail. The last item that was came up, which I think was just brought up again by the neighbor, is that the proposed lots will contribute to worsening a problem of the drainage in the area. As you know, these days, applicants are scrutinized with hydromodification and drainage studies thoroughly. TPW has reviewed and accepted the drainage plan and hydromodification report that concluded there would be no increase in off-site drainage from the occur from the project. And additionally, it was verified by DPW that drainage will not negatively affect the Gubler property. So those are the 8 items that staff wanted to respond to, and we could take any follow-up questions you may have. Thank you.
Commissioner Norby.
Thank you, Chairman Brooks. Kind of zeroing in on this ag open space area, ag conservation area, ag management issue. Just so I have a clear understanding, we have 26 legal lots should this project go forward. The ag areas, the orange shaded areas on each legal lot will be entirely up to the decision of the owner of that lot, whether they want to put that into production or not from agricultural. So there's no requirement that it must be farmed or it must stay agricultural. So I understand that they can't build a structure there. It does have an open space element to it, which is great. But the point that I want to go to is that if we had a habitat, if we were preserving habitat, open space habitat, you know, we wouldn't allow somebody to go into that open space habitat and farm because the habitat is for a purpose, okay? And so my concern here is that if we don't say that this ag is for ag, that there's nothing to prevent the homeowner from landscaping it the way that they choose. They can do a Tuscan treasure, they can do a Hawaiian, they can do native. They can do any type of landscaping on that parcel that they want that's not ag. Now, am I incorrect or am I correct?
Commissioner Norby, through the chair, two things that come to mind to help answer your question. First off, there is a condition in the resolution that requires it to be ag. Not only do they have to dedicate an ag easement, they're also dedicating what's called an agricultural maintenance agreement over that site. So it specifically says ag, and it's specifically a requirement that that has to be maintained in ag. And the second point staff would like to be made, the reason for this configuration is that the land value in San Diego County dictates that small farms are very crucial to the dynamics of the prosperity of agriculture these days. In fact, one of the speakers at the last hearing gave us a letter from Kathleen Thunner, even though it was a little out of date. It was from 1997. There's a quote in it that says, the ability to farm small parcels is crucial to the success of future agricultural in San Diego County. So hopefully that answers your question.
Okay. There's nothing that compels the property owner to have ag on his property. I understand it's preserved for ag. I understand there's an overlay on it. And my point is I need to weigh, as a commissioner, the value of this ag land, if it were If it were consolidated or under a management of a farmer, as opposed to under the management of the 26 homeowners, the chance of ag actually happening, it's, I know we can't force people to do anything on their property, okay? So, but my common sense tells me that of these 26 people, some of them, or the majority of them, are not going to enter into ag, and we're going to lose ag, and I don't want to lose ag. Now, some of them will. They'll have a small little production area on a couple acres, on a half acre, on an acre, and that's fine. But if it were under a farm contract, for example, or something like that, it would be farmed. And the point that I want to get across as a commissioner is that I so strongly believe that ag is so important that we need to provide food stock and we need to grow for this community as we grow to 4.1 million or 4.2 million people. And to have a county with no ag, it's just not acceptable that we import everything. So when we have valuable ag land, I want to see the same strict requirements that are put on, that we put on open space mitigation, that we say this will remain habitat for flora and fauna. It can't be used for anything else. And that level is not what I'm seeing here. So absent some sort of a binding contract to have this property farmed, essentially, or under a contract of a farm management company, I'm hard-pressed to support this. And I want it to be clear that the farming apparatus here is up to the individual property owner, whether they plant that or not. In other words, the agreement to have this under ag and the agreement to have it maintained for 10 years cannot compel somebody to plant a crop on their property. And that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, Commissioner Norby, through the chair, just one quick point of clarification, understanding the issue. Condition number 3 is the agricultural easement, and that language says the easement prohibits all non-agricultural uses, including but not limited to the construction or placement of any residence, garage, recreation amenities, and then it also lists what exceptions are allowed, maintenance of wells and grading for agricultural purposes and whatnot. So we feel that the easement is very strict about what can go on and what can't go on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before I call other commissioners to speak, Commissioner Norby stated 26 legal lots. There are actually 28 legal lots, right?
That's correct.
Okay, for the record.
Thank you.
No problem. Commissioner Reese, and then Commissioner Pallinger, and then Commissioner Beck, in that order.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. By the way, I have listened to the CDs. Great interest going on till about 9:30 last night. Missed half of the TV shows I wanted to watch. Anyway, I have some problems with the math on how we got to the numbers we're talking about. The significant issue is the PEC soils. We start off with 27.6, and we immediately drop to the calculations we're using by dropping out the 6 acres used for roads. They're still lost. You saw your calculations from the base of 21.6 after having deducted the 6 acres for roads. They're gone. So you've had a significant impact, which you then mentioned down in the impact area. The 6 acres is your impact. But really, if you're going to take half of the stuff of the remaining property, of the 27.6, you're down to 21 acres, and you're going to put half of that's going to be outside of the preserve area, you're going to lose that as well. So your impact is more than 50% of the total area of soils, of PEC soils that are being lost in the calculations, but your mitigating measures only address that. The other part of it that bothers me is, and I don't know anything about agriculture, as my son says, I'm the worst black thumb in town, but what we've done is, if PEC soils are valuable as ag lands, we've created some other thing that is not PEC soils that we're using as a functional for the one-to-one equivalent. It's like we've got 6 T-Rexes, we're going to destroy 1.5 of them, but we're going to give you back 3 duckbill platypus and an orange tree. I don't know that those match. I don't think they match. And if this is PEC soils is really a good thing for agricultural uses, you haven't produced a one-to-one match of the 13 acres or the 26 acres that you've destroyed with this thing. That's my big concern on the math on that one. Thank you.
Sure. Chairman Brooks, Chairman Reese through the chair. This is figure three, and unfortunately we didn't put the column up of the math as Commissioner Reese states. But in figure three of the EIR, we go through the math, as Commissioner Reed stated, that we start with 92.8 and immediately subtracted is the 25.2 roads, which the remaining area is 67.6, and then is also subtracted out the leach field. So we start with 58.5. So that area, I don't know where you were reading that from, but that was considered. I do want to make a point.
2.2-5 in the EIR. This is your calculations I'm reading directly from.
But I do want to clarify what is being protected here. So 6 acres of the PC soil is going to be impacted. That means it's going to be graded. There are other soils that are PC soils on site that won't be impacted that will be preserved, and that is 13 acres. So if you had a subdivision and you were impacting 6 acres of PEC soils, you would be required on site to mitigate 6 acres that is not being impacted. In this case, they are preserving 13 acres of PEC soils that will not be touched, that will be in the easement. Hope that clarifies it. And we're looking for the exact reference, Commissioner. Thank you on the... Oh. So I believe we were talking about the same chart. The roads, driveways, and pads were subtracted prior to the calculation on the bottom. So we believe the math in figure 2.21 is correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I could ask a question on that issue?
Yes. Before Ballinger, I'm back. You may.
So, Mr. Sibbett, so the numbers that were cited by Commissioner Reese, are those acres that are impacted for roads and leach fields, are those determined or classified as agricultural lands? Or is it a different type of agricultural land that we're talking about?
Commissioner Day, through the chair, the acreage of the roads and leach fields were subtracted out prior to calculating the 6 acres of the PEC soil.
And are those acres PEC soil as well?
There's only 6 acres that has been impacted by the development on this site.
So the roads and leach fields aren't impacting PEC soil?
Correct.
And the only resource that we're trying to protect here is the PEC soil?
Correct.
And that's 6 acres of impact, and we're replacing that with more than 2-to-1?
That's correct.
No, there's over 13 acres that are being protected.
Right.
So
right.
It's over 2-to-1, which is more than twice the requirement of the county.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Now, Commissioner Ballinger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sibbett, is there any protection on this property currently that protects it as agricultural land?
Commissioner Ballinger, through the chair, no. Right now, it operates partially as a crop, and there is no ag easement on the site that would require anyone to do any of these restrictions. That's
so
correct.
So the owner could just maintain it as fallow land.
That's correct.
So then it seems to me, with the conditions, as you stated, condition number three, that creates the easements and the funding for a period of time of 10 years to maintain agricultural operations, goes much further to protect this land as agricultural, for agricultural use, than is currently, right? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Beck?
I just wanted to, I've got a lot of questions, but I just wanted to conclude testimony.
Public testimony?
Yeah, I just want to have the rebuttal and hear everybody, and then I've got some comments. Yeah.
Okay. No further questions from commissioners. Rebuttal.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Mr. Chair.
David, would you mind pulling up the presentation? I wanted to address something that I did hear from Mr. Norby. I'm not sure that it's clear.
Go ahead, sir.
I wasn't sure that you guys are clear here on, we have a 22.6-acre agricultural preserve.
Mr. Peltzer, you need to introduce yourself and give your address.
Sure. Wes Peltzer, 751 Rancheros Drive, Suite 4, San Marcos, California. Thank you. We actually have two things going on here. We have a 22.6-acre agricultural preserve, which we're required to maintain forever. But outside that, there's another 58.5 acres actually of ag land that is not impacted by the project. So it's important to understand that when we get all done and we put in the pads and we put in the driveways and we do all that kind of stuff, effectively we actually have 58.5 acres of ag left, of which 22.6 is in an agricultural preserve forever and ever. Over and above what you, the county, are doing, though, we have drafted CCNRs that are going to have the ag preserve maintained by the homeowners association. We'll have the authority to bill and charge the landowners to maintain the ag. Also included in those CCNRs, and we offered this to the county, but they didn't feel they could bind us with it, is going to be an agricultural manager who will be retained by the association and who will provide that indefinitely, and the homeowners association will bill the homeowners for it. So noteworthy also, and I want you guys to understand it, is that we have designed this particular piece of land, unlike some, already has five existing wells on it. It has the piping systems already in it, and it just happens that the water well use on this site is sufficient to accommodate the preservation of the 58.5 acres or thereabouts of ag use that we are going to preserve. So the way we've structured it on our side of the equation is the wells and the ag and the preserve will be owned by the Homeowners Association. The Homeowners Association has the not only has the authority, but is directed to provide that additional water to the homeowners so that we can encourage and facilitate the use of the agriculture by the homeowners outside the agricultural preserve area. Can we start with my first slide, please?
Mr. Feist?
That's not
Mr. Felser?
Yes, sir.
How much more time you think you're going to need on this?
It's about 10 minutes of time.
No, I can't allow that. Do what you can to shorten it, please.
Okay, I wanted you guys to see some pictures, because I think
rebuttal is meant to rebuttal any information that you have heard.
Yes, so that's what I'm...
Not a whole new report.
Yes, no, I'm prepared to actually, these pictures I have are actually things that will allow you to see, they are direct rebuttal.
Let's run through it as quickly as possible.
Okay, yes, sir. Sorry for the delay. That's not me. I gave you guys a flash disk this morning that this is not the... Pardon? Yeah, I gave it to Jared this morning. He loaded it in your system. Sorry. Thank you.
take a break? You want to figure this out?
That's a good idea. At this time, Mr. Phelps, we're going to take our break.
Okay.
And perhaps that'll be done by the time we finish.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.